Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way. It says that life's a borrowed space, returns upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all by the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Oh yes, it is a complete way. That's Islam. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Listeners, my name is Abdul Hakim Qasim, and I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim Show on Women Radio 91.7 FM. On this day, Saturday, the 14th of February, 2026, corresponding to the 26th day of Sha'ban, 1447 AH. It is the last Saturday of the month of Sha'ban, 1447 AH. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the gift of life and the gift of good health. We're just about 3 or 4 days to Ramadan. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spare our lives to witness this year's Ramadan and many more in our lifetime. Allahumma ameen. So we pray, Allahumma barik lana fi Sha'ban wa balligna Ramadan. May Allah count us among those who fast this year's Ramadan. The program is Everyday Muslim Show, and on this program we try to address misconceptions about Islam, foster peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. This program is made possible by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, in partnership with the management of Women Radio 91.7 FM. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, the Exalted, says in the glorious Quran, Quran chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 183. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kama kutiba ala ladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqun. That all you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you, as it was prescribed for those who came before you, that you may attain piety, that you might become al-muttaqun, the conscious people, those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today I want to take a look at something very important as part of our preparations for Ramadan. So today we are looking at preparing the heart for Ramadan, a much needed spiritual reset. All right, and joining us on the program to take us through this journey today is Hajja Sakina Adefumilola Saint. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ma'am.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It's a pleasure to have you on the program again.
Same here.
Yeah. All right. So for just for you to know that this program is streaming live on YouTube via the Women Radio page. Search Women Radio on YouTube. Click on the page to view the studio live. Later on in the program, we'll open our phone lines for you to call in and share your thoughts. You can also, at that time, send in your comments. To the program. Inshallah, we would unveil the lines for you to do that. The program again is brought to you by Everyday Muslim. Brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center in partnership with Meridian at 1.7 FM. I want to say again that we are using this opportunity to seek your sponsorship and other placement to sustain this program. I want to keep it going and we need your support. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you. We are looking forward to your sponsorship and advert placement. So earlier I said we want to look at preparing the heart for Ramadan, a much needed spiritual diet. And our guest is Hajjah Sakina Defunla Saheed. For those of us who probably might be meeting her for the first time, she's a remarkable individual with a vast range of roles and talents. She's not only a mother, but also a devoted Muslimah who continuously strives to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In addition to her personal commitment, she serves as an educational consultant who provides valuable guidance and support to students and educational institutions. She's also a marriage counselor who assists couples in their marital journeys. Furthermore, she is an entrepreneur and demonstrating her dedication to entrepreneurship and innovation. Her expertise extends to being a certified handwriting expert, adding a unique skill to her repertoire. She is a proud graduate of Lagos City University of Education, Lasuer, formerly known as Adrenal Gusaya College of Education. One of our favorite statements, I always love, taking this out, and that is, on the streets, in Yoruba parlance, you say, how much my body weight? Me lulara me. By the time you translate that to English, so her favorite statement is, what is my body weight to enter Jahannam, the fire of hell? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from hellfire. Mm-hmm. So you imagine that you think you're kind of like big, and you're told that the combination of, all of us, the whole earth, is just a fraction by the time it is thrown into hell. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from it. Mm-hmm. Talking about a hellfire that is driven by 70,000 angels at 70,000 points. Mm-hmm. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that. All right. Mm-hmm. So, in that regard, last week we talked about preparing your body, your mind, and soul for a meaningful month. We're considering the spiritual and health/dietary perspectives of Ramadan preparation. So today, we are delving deeper into the spiritual preparation. And like I said, we are looking at preparing the heart for Ramadan, a much-needed spiritual reset. As we stand on the threshold of Ramadan, expected around February 18, 2026, subject to the sighting of the moon, we are reminded that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His mercy does not only invite us to fast from food and drinks, but to also fast from sin, destruction, bitterness, and spiritual neglect. In just a few days, our bodies will adjust to hunger, but the greater question remains, will our hearts adjust to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because Ramadan does not reform lives by schedule, it reforms our lives by surrender. So this is not a season for routines, it is a season for return. A return to sincerity, a return to humility, a return to the Quran, and a return to the Lord of the Quran. So today, we are not asking how to prepare our kitchens or calendars. We are asking, how do we prepare our hearts? Because the heart is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, focuses on. That's where Allah looks. And it is the heart that determines the quality of our Ramadan. So, Hajjah Sakina. So, we have a situation where in Ramadan, many Muslims enter into the month physically present but spiritually absent. So, why does this happen and how to reverse this dangerous pattern starting from now?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Shuri Sadr, Wayasir Dahamri, Wa Ulul Ugdat and Min Lisani of Kawukoli. Alhamdulillah, it's a great privilege being here today again.
Alhamdulillah.
And Alhamdulillah, because I am starting from last year Ramadan till now, lots has happened.
Subhanallah.
Lots has happened. We many give all thanks and adoration to Allah Azza wa Jal, who has spared our life till this moment.
Yeah.
And we pray, we continue to pray, we seek His indulgence that He please grant us this Ramadan, because even with this little time that is remaining, as small as it is, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that knows those that will take part in this Ramadan. Some will start early with us, some will join us to the mildew, some will take it to the end, some leaves immediately after Ramadan.
Oh.
We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us many, many more written the surface of the heart.
Allahumma
ameen. It is a great opportunity, wallahi. Ramadan does not create righteousness, it reveals it. It means that when we're talking of taqwa, like the verse you quoted in Quran 2 verse 183, Allah said, so that you attain taqwa. And that taqwa, like the normal linguistic will say fear, but it does not literally mean fear. It means carefulness of that supreme being that has the capacity to do and undo.
The consciousness.
Yes, the consciousness of the heart. So it means that whatever righteousness you can put forward in Ramadan, you actually have that capacity.
Mm-hmm.
You were only trying to restrain yourself. You are only allowing Shaitan to tell you you could not. So it reveals the righteousness. Then for so many, when we prepare for Ramadan, we only prepare the food. You see people saying, I don't have food to fast. It is Allah, Harazak. He provides the eagerness of what am I going to eat should not be the superior thing to a Muslim or a Muslim. Because even in our day-to-day life, we don't have capacity over ourselves. It is Allah that determines everything at every point in time.
Yeah.
Like, the situation can change within a twinkle of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
Of recent, we saw a boy of 19 years old that was that picks that, and somebody helped out.
Subhanallah.
Within a twinkle of an eye, Allah can change situation.
Absolutely.
So if we know that, then the quest should not be what we are going to eat. That is why you now have food scarcity, because you know demand and supply. Because people are always, most times we do it like a Ramadan feast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are not actually even fasting. You see some people break their fast and they have this on
they
their
want
table.
To feel
exactly.
That
the
void,
morning, the
heart,
afternoon, the
so, they
so you don't even feel that you are fasting.
Subhanallah.
So we need to, the way we prepare the body, the way we want to say, okay, I want to rest, I want to do this, so also we should prepare the mind. The mind needs food. The food of the mouth is for you to eat. The food of the nose is for you to breathe in carbon dioxide, and you understand the food of the eye is for you to see. The food of the hand, every part of the body is to grab things, use it, the leg to walk and the likes. But the food of the soul is for you to motivate the soul, talk to the soul. The soul too needs food, needs to listen to good talks, motivational, positive vibes, and some other things like that. So if we could prepare for other things, there is no magic about anything. Mm. If the Sahabas, Likram, they could start preparing for Ramadan 6 months before the commencement of Ramadan. And there's this adage that says that practice make perfect. What you practice today, tomorrow, the next, it becomes
a part of you.
It becomes an habit. So for us, it should be more of the preparation of the mind, because it reveals a lot of things in us. So preparing the mind, telling the mind we are going to fast. And that is why even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy for us. He wants us to be in connection with Him continuously. That is why after Ramadan, you fast Sister Shawwal. There are still other Monday, Tuesday, 13, 14, 15 of the lunar calendar. And some other things like that. It means that
maintaining that connection.
Yes, that connection, so that it doesn't break. Even if you don't do up to the length you do in Ramadan, don't just refrain totally. This connection does not start a day. So reconnection will not start
in a day.
May Allah make it easy for us.
All right. Allahumma ameen. All right. So because you're talking about that connection, and trying to look at, because we're looking at how we're preparing our hearts to meet Ramadan and to relate with our Lord. All right. So what does a truly prepared heart looks like in the sight of Allah, and how can a believer measure the state of their hearts in an honest manner before Ramadan begins itself?
Naam, alhamdulillah. You should, you get to the state of preparation. If you worship Allah like Allah is seeing me, you know you are not the owner of time. Anything can happen at any point in time. And you, like I read a write-up of recent, it says, the man says he started preparing for his grave because he understood that he was not going to have a companion in the grave. So he started making Monday, Thursday, 13, 14, 15, and he has the intention that, yeah, Allah, I'm keeping it for my grave because I want a companion in the grave. And he said he started reading the Quran. When we say worship, more of a connection, a conversation between us and our Lord, instead of seeing it as a chore, we want to believe that, you know, when you see the things as a chore, even if you do your work diligently, if you do it with passion, there's a difference between when you do your work as passion and where you see it like, I don't have a choice. It's a burden. Yes, you understand. So if you worship your Lord like
you want to have a conversation. Mm. You know, just have that mindset. You see the joy, the way you blush. You don't understand when you are about starting your solar.
I love the way you use the word blush. You know,
yes.
That it's more of a connection.
Yes.
That you've seen it as an opportunity to get into that fold with your Lord. So it's a heart-to-heart thing. So
you more understand.
Like, I'm going to... And that's what I love. The word is connection. I want to connect with my Lord. So when you're connecting with your Lord, anything... You will do anything that will make you get that connection. So, it's not appearing like a burden anymore. It's more like an opportunity for me to, you know, relate.
Connect,
and
yes.
So, I really
remember when my daughter has this kind of attitude when maybe she's off Salat and she's about to start praying. You see the jubilation like her. It's like a time where I will not have problem. Yes, the connection with my Lord. I'm going, you know... I saw her dancing in her room one day and I was like, what happened? Said, I'm going to start praying. And I was like, yes, this is how it should be. Yeah. And alhamdulillah, because it has to be something you are always looking up to. Like, we want to talk to our spouse probably all the minutes. If we are being given opportunity that just sit and be talking with your spouse, there is no quarrel, there is no... You know, misunderstanding. You just want to, even on relevant things. You see couples on phone, they don't even have what to say. They just stay there. They just want to be connected. So just the way you want to be connected with your children, your spouses, your friends. Some of your friends, you always have something to gist about. Some you don't even talk for months, but when you meet,
the opportunity comes.
It's like you're starting all over again and you have lots and lots and lots and lots of things to say.
Discuss.
So it should be that connection with your Lord. Prepare your mind. Let it be, even if you are not seeing Allah, He's seeing you, looking down at you. Oh, this is my special servants wanting to connect with me. You know, you blush like trying to view and try to understand that, yes, my Lord is pleased with me. Even if you don't know the length at which it is, but being positive and having that mindset that you are coming in contact with your Creator and He understands you better than anyone. There is no level of explanation you give about yourself to people. The only person that understands it perfectly, exactly, without no hindrance, is Allah. Azza wa Jal.
In fact, what you have just said now reminds me of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that hadith of Jibril, the second hadith of An-Nawawi, that Jibril came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him, "Akhbirni alin ihsan," tell me about goodness, righteousness. And he says, "Al ihsan anta'budallaha ka'annaka tarahu fa in lam takun tarahu fa innahu yarak." That goodness, righteousness is when you worship Allah as if He's seeing you.
Yes.
Sorry, as if you are seeing Him. Even if you can't see Him, certainly He sees you. So you now imagine that, you know, I'm trying to imagine that I want to host the president of Nigeria.
Wow.
You know the kind of preparation,
of
super preparation that I would have made.
Yes.
And how...
Including your speech preparation.
You see everything, everything. The kinds of rehearsals, the number of rehearsals I'll have done, just because I want to create an impression that yes, I'm meeting my president. And now imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than your president, and you want to meet with Him, and you want to ensure that everything is in perfect shape,
smoothly.
Everything goes smoothly, and how much, you know, overjoyed you would be, and how happy, how fulfilled, that's the word I'm looking for, you would be that, wow, I'm conversing with my Lord. I'm hosting my Lord.
No.
You know, I am before His presence, and every other thing is secondary.
Of course.
No other thing comes to my mind. Imagine how, if truly we can actually have such connection with our Creator, with what you have said. So, but then, something gets me concerned.
No.
That we get to see a situation where you see people, they fast, they pray, they recite the Quran, and they still walk away from Ramadan as if nothing really happened. So, am I just imagining, is this possible? And what will probably be responsible for this kind of disconnection, that someone will go 29, 30 days of Ramadan, and immediately Ramadan goes like this, that's disconnection.
Yes, it is possible.
What could be responsible for that?
Yes, it's just like a student going to school. We have some people that go to school, they can't read.
Subhanallah.
Yes, they can read. They will now say the school didn't pass through them. They just passed through the school.
You understand? Them.
So we have three stages of the hearts. We have the dead hearts. We have the sick hearts. And we have the callable selling. The dead hearts, when it commits sins, it doesn't mind. It's just, you know, doesn't flinch. It's just a normal thing. And the sick heart obeys and disobeys. You understand? It fluctuates. And the callable selling treats his Lord as if, yes, he's always present.
Tranquil heart.
Now, for it's a matter of the mindset.
Okay.
You know, some people go to school. They said, I should go to school. I went to school. You will even hear some, you'll hear some children say, I went to school to study law for my daddy. It's for my dad.
So some you people said I should read that I have done.
Yes. It is just a matter of tradition. In our house, you must go to university.
That's
then
the
they go to university. Yes. So unlike some people, we have some children that doesn't even have family support, no parental support. They're giving all their breast to go to school. I've heard of a girl in Unilag that she was staying in Makoko, and she was an Ijabi, and she was staying in a very tattered house. And she was in 300 level about to miss her admission some times ago, and people had to raise money for her. You remembered. So you can imagine that kind of life. A girl being determined, despite her situation,
very
that she was determined to excel. So it is different. Somebody that decided to say, they said we should fast Ramadan. And somebody that knows that Ramadan is for me to get in connection with my Lord. Do you understand?
Absolutely.
So it's different when you fast. It's a matter of the mindset. I want to fast because it's a tradition. I'm a Muslim. I'm born a Muslim. You understand? Yes, I know some Christians that fast with us as well. It's a matter of, I love this fasting. There are two different things. Now, when you see Ramadan as a transformation.
And not a tradition.
Yes, and not a tradition. You want Allah to... So you don't only prepare that mind. You know, it's just like some children, when they want to pee, you tell them, hold on, hold on, you are not there yet. It's a matter of the mind. And they will hold on to that pee just because you are trying to create that mindset that is not
when
yet.
When it's not yet time, you don't.
So when you have the mindset of, Shebi is 30 days, no problem, let's make the sacrifice of 30 days. You understand? It is convenient for such people. Immediately, they sight the moon. For Eid, wow, you will see the way people are displaying. It means it was not a form of transformation for them.
So it's just a routine.
Yes, it is just a routine.
And
normal
after that
thing,
Ramadan,
yes,
they go back
that's
to factory set.
That's night. That same night, you see people jubilating in the mosque. Sometimes I went for itikaf in one university like that. And immediately they were contemplating whether they saw the moon or they did not see the moon. You said, let them see the moon, Jare. What is it? This and that. You see, some people will tell you that, I cannot fast in Pashawalo. Why? Because, that 30 days. I will quen it ongba. You understand that? It is a matter of the mindset. But for people that says, Allah, I want to be good during Ramadan, and after Ramadan, even if it doesn't remain the 100% it used to be in Ramadan, at least you still have 40, 30, 20% still going on. That is why you find it easy. For some people, since the last Ramadan, they've not had another fasting. That is why you now be asking people, please, have you fasted your missed Ramadan? What can you understand? For some people that Allah has blessed, immediately after Eid, maybe 2 days after, they pick up their missed fast, and they conclude with their sister Shawal. For those people, would you ask them if they have
repaired the missed
fasting? You understand? So it's a matter of the mindset. Let everybody prepare their mind. I am going to be good in Ramadan and afterwards, because this life does not have a duplicate. It does not have a specific time you're going to live. Work as if tomorrow is the end. Or let's say the next second is the end. So
tomorrow might be too late.
Yes, tomorrow might be too late. So it give you the opportunity, the privilege to always be at a lot and do good at all times.
All right.
May Allah make it easy.
I mean. In fact, you talked about the hearts now and the different kinds of hearts. You talked about the dead hearts, the how will I put it? the fluctuating heart and the tranquil heart. That leads me to this next question. I know quite well that, because we talked about that disconnect and what could be responsible. So now you've given us the different kinds of heart. And for the fact that the heart experiences like a kind of a disease, so to say. I remember the first Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talked about the fact that the heart also suffers illness and it has a cure. So I know quite well that, so I'm asking, so what are the different kinds of, or what are the silent heart diseases, you know, grudges, envy, pride, and heedlessness that rob Ramadan of its blessings? And it's not actually robbing Ramadan, that robs a Muslim of the blessings of Ramadan, and how we can approach them before we start, you know, this fasting of Ramadan. Because if I know that these are the diseases that my heart will probably suffer from, and so it would be better for me to actually try to address them before I step into Ramadan. So what are these diseases and how do we address them?
Grudge is, like you've said, hatred, asad, enviness, the ability not to forgive. There's a verse of the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, would you not like to be forgiven just like would you not like to forgive just like you would love to be forgiven? Yes. So if you know that you want to meet Allah and meet Ramadan with a clear heart, you need to remove grudges. Tell Allah, it's something that you need to pray over. Talk to your heart. Yes, I know it is not easy. It is not that you're not going to feel the pain. You know, somebody backbites, somebody blackmailed you, somebody did things that hurt you. You know, holding grudges. It's just like the Prophet says that two people, their good deeds will not be lifted.
Subhanallah.
On Mondays and Thursdays. Why? Because they hold grudges against each other. If you don't love that person, fine. At least you should love yourself. Why would I hold grudges against somebody to delay my own good deeds to be taken to my Creator?
Subhanallah.
So many times I used to say, it is not about those people.
Exactly.
It's not because they deserve it. Just like your children offend you, you let it go. Not because they deserve it, but because you feel that need for you to do so. So how much more? And I believe that everybody on this earth, we are brothers and sisters, because as far as I've read so far and I've been informed, there's only one Adam, alayhi salam. There's only one Hawa. So how much more? You just see that person, irrespective of your state, your ethics, your religion and everything, it's still bogged down to you have been created by Allah and with your brothers and sisters. So it should be easy. It should be part of that person. Because of that yourself, it should be because of yourself. You should want, you want Allah to accept your deed. So you need to do away with grudges, envy, asad. All those things are disease of the mind, and there is no way you can eradicate them without you talking to Allah about it. Do I it, please Allah, I want to help me. They are disease of the heart. Anger, asad, backbiting, blackmailing, talking, gossiping, talking about your... That is why the Prophet says, who among you will hit the flesh of your brother? We see it as something that is unreasonable, but that is the reality of it. Do you know sometimes when you tell small children about eating the flesh, can you eat this flesh? I can't eat it. So how do you now, you know, try to replicate
that
and tell them that, see, if you are talking about this person, then you are actually eating their meat raw. You understand? Even when somebody, you slaughter an animal, or maybe a car crush an animal, to even look at it is something so disgusting. So how much more putting that in your mouth? You understand? And that is the example I used to use for my children when they were very young. I would say, look at that rat that the cars crushed. So I was blind understanding. So if you're talking about your brother, that's what you are actually consuming. So if not because of anything, we should look at our own relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla. We should think of how we can help ourselves. You should, there's one thing that is common these days, self-love. So if you actually love yourself, I think you should do away with anybody. Don't allow Shaitan to tell you, but the person did, but the person... We should know that everybody lives on fitra. Alas, we'll send that person to you to do that. We always, even the Prophet has some say, we should pray that Allah should not use us as a punishment for the kuffars. So look, anything will not happen except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded it or has given the permission that it should happen. Like I read about, I listened to the story of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, and a woman that was a widow, she used to knit to make a daily sustenance for her and her children. And anytime she finished knitting, she would take it to the market, sell whatever money she's able to make. She'll buy things she needs for the next knitting and buy some food for her children. And like, it is a daily routine for her. Until one day she was going to the market and a bird came and took away all she has knitted. So it means the bird ripped her off all her entire life. She doesn't have, if she has sold, the profits would have been to buy things, food for her children and herself, and she would have used that to buy what she will produce the next time. So she started thinking that a bird was actually acting on the feature of Allah. How could a bird come and just hijack something from her? She started wondering. 2 days after, she went to Prophet Dawood, and she asked Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, is Allah just or unjust? Ha! Yeah. Prophet Dawood alayhi salam was like, wow. Well, what made you say this? You know, there are some complicated questions that you feel like, I don't know how to answer this. Prophet Dawood asked her, why did you say this? He said, this is what happened, this is our situation, and the likes. As they were discussing, they told Prophet Dawood alayhi salam that some visitors, strangers are there to see him. And, you know, kind of, because of the question was complicated, he was trying to, okay, wait, let me attend to this stranger so that we could continue. And when the strangers came in, they came with bags of gold, everything. And Prophet Dawood asked them, what do you want? They said, we're actually traveling on the shore and we had some kind of waves that was taking off the canoe and the likes. We were praying to Allah. We went for a business trip and it was fruitful. And we started praying to Allah that, Allah, if you save us from this, because our ship was actually going in a different direction that was we're not
almost
sure.
Like having a ship,
if you do this for us, we'll use our gold and, you know, riches for Sadako. And while we're praying, a bird brought a knitted bag, needle, and some other things. So we fixed the ship and were able to move. So we have now come to Prophet Dawood alayhi salam that these are the golds and everything that we wanted to use for Sadako that we promised Allah. So Prophet Dawood did not say anything. The woman was present. He looked at her and said, is Allah just or unjust? So let us know that nobody is capable of doing us any harm. Like when people die in Yoruba land, they will ask me, who dare it? Like, who would have dare killed this person? If not Allah. You understand? So we should know that everybody acts with the commandment Allah has given. And if the Prophet said we should pray that we should not be a suburb of fitna to people, then we should know that anything that comes our way, grudges, is something we should clear off our mind. When we pray to Allah, Allah will make it easy for each and every one of us.
Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, subhanAllah. I'm dumbfounded. Seriously, the story that you just narrated, it touched me. And I want to believe that all those who are listening to will feel touched by it. Because if you feel like it's hopeless, you don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in plan for you.
Exactly.
So just put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I believe that all will be well.
Even when you don't know where the plan is actually going,
put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll be going on a short break. The program is still Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM. When we return and the program continues, please stay with us.
Oh, the people are coming and going, getting ready, toing and froing. There's a buzz in the world tonight. People are so excited. Daddy's coming home soon, hoping to see the moon, hoping to catch a sight. Everyone's so happy. Moon, moon, come out soon. We're off to see the Ramadan moon. Cloud shift, fog lift, city put out your lights. We want to see the Ramadan moon tonight.
Look, 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 I can see it.
Oh, wow, so can I.
Tomorrow, get fast.
Now Ramadan has started, and the moon has just been sighted. Tomorrow we all fast. every Muslim ask. Now Isha time is here, and it's time to leave for prayer. The Imam is in the mosque, the Quran is in his heart. Moon, moon, come out soon, we're off to see the Ramadan moon. Cloud shift, fog lit, city put out your lights. We want to see the Ramadan moon tonight.
Come with me.
Okay.
Come. Ooh, Ramadan moon. From the early break of dawn, we go the whole day long. Shops are full of days, but still we have to wait till the sun goes down, and it's time to break a siyam. The food is on the plate. Ooh, it tastes so good. Moon, moon, come out soon. We're off to see the Ramadan moon. Cloud shape, fog lit, city put out your lights. We want to see the Ramadan moon tonight.
Where's Granddad?
I don't know.
Come on, Ramadan moon, Ramadan moon.
He's going to the mosque the last 10 days.
I'm gonna miss him.
We'll see him when he comes out.
Now Grandad's in itikaf, only 10 days are left. He's praying every night, dressed all in white, hands held high, with tears in his eye, asking for forgiveness and paradise. Moon, moon, come out soon, we're off to see the Ramadan moon. Cloud shift, fog lit, city without your lights. We want to see the Ramadan moon.
Alright, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, you're still listening to Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM. It is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, in partnership with the management of Women Radio 91.7 FM. And we are discussing preparing the heart for Ramadan, a much needed spiritual reset. And our guest is Hajja Sakina Adi from Lola Saeed, an educational consultant who provides valuable guidance and support to students and educational institutions. She's also a marriage counselor who assists couples in their marital journeys. All right, you can be a part of this discourse by calling the number 07000-917-917. Our toll-free line for the female callers is 0800-1235-917. You can also send a message to us via SMS or WhatsApp through the number 08155-917-917. I'll take that again, 08155-917-917. I know quite well that a lot of us are actually, anticipating when the moon will be sighted. Let me just say this for this is more like a community service announcement. Now, for us as Muslims, on Tuesday night will be the 9th or the 29th of Ramadan. So that night, we would actually watch out for the crescent, if the crescent of Ramadan moon will be sighted, because on Tuesday will be 29th of Sha'ban. And the prophetic guidance is, we watch out for the moon. If the moon is sighted that evening, so it means that on Wednesday, the 18th of February, we will start Ramadan. Now, if the moon is not sighted, we would count the month of Sha'ban to be 30, and we would start Ramadan on Thursday. I'm saying this because so many people have been spreading the message. On Tuesday night, we are observing the Taraweeh prayers, and we are starting Ramadan emphatically on Wednesday. I don't know where they got this from. I don't know where they got their Islam from. But this is the prophetic guidance that we are telling us. So it's not about the calculation of some scholars who sat somewhere. It's not about, collation of accumulation of Ramadan, different calendars, and to fix a particular date. That is the guidance of the Prophet that we should watch out for the sighting of the moon. So it's not enough, it's not correct for someone to say, we've already done the calculation, this is certainly when the moon will be born, this is certainly when it will be visible to the eyes, this is certainly, no.
When someone is not the PA of Allah.
So subhanAllah, I wonder whether they were there when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is planning this. So
Let's not do this. So Islam is not about self-desires, and it's not about arrogance or pride to say that this is our own. We also have scholars here in the south or southwest or south or whatsoever. It's not the people from northern part of the country that would determine. They are not the ones determining. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is determining when we want to commence our Ramadan. So let's just take note of that. All right. So for everyone, for our listeners out there, you can call the number 07000-917-917. Our female, 0800-123-5917. You can also send a message to us via SMS or WhatsApp, 0815-5917-917. So we are still looking out for your partnership and in terms of sponsorship and advert placement on this program. And as Ramadan is also coming, you can also sponsor different things that you want us to have on this program or on this platform, Women Radio at 1.7 FM. So different programs in the morning or in the evening that you want people to benefit from this holy month of Ramadan, let us bring our programs and announcements, our adverts and whatsoever. Inshallah, the opportunity is there for you to do so. All right. So the program is also streaming live on YouTube via the Women Radio page. So search Women Radio on YouTube, click on the page and join to view the studio live and also to send your comments on the live feeds on YouTube. So, all right. So I just Sakina. Now, we're talking about Ramadan as an opportunity to get our sins forgiven. So I want to ask that. What does sincere repentance truly look like? Not just something by kind of lip service. And it's sincere repentance. And how can believers reset their intentions for a Ramadan that transforms and not just a Ramadan where they just pass by without really having an effect on their soul?
Alhamdulillah. Saying things on the mouth is just like when you observe Salat, when Allah says in Surah Al-Mahun, Quran 107, verse 4 to 5, saying, those that prayed. And that is the verse that people, some people say, Allah calls those that pray.
Oh,
what kind of prayer? Yes. people that pray, that you just, it's just a physical act. It is not from the mind, it's not from the soul, it is not genuinely from the soul. So it is, it has to do with the mind, you know, it's the reformation of the transformation of the mind. Be conversant with your mind and let there be a conversation between you and your mind, so that it should not just be something of the lip that you just, you know, give out your service. That's
goes
okay.
Beyond the lips and goes straight. It's coming from the heart,
yes,
and not just from the lips.
Exactly.
Okay.
So many times you have some discussion. Somebody might be talking to you, and 90% of what that person have said, you are absent-minded. Yes. So it is also when your mind is not in connection with your Creator, so it becomes things of the lip. Yes, we fasted. How many is fasting today? 28. Allah Akbar. We are fasted, though. This and that. The first thing we need to do is regret and repentance. Regret, feeling remorseful, is a form of repentance. If you miss Ramadan with repentance, seeking Allah's forgiveness, you will taste the sweetness of faith. Because actually tasting the sweetness of faith makes the connection more sweeter. And for people that have been prepared, don't feel like I'm at the top of it. And for people that are yet to start preparing from this moment, tell Allah to forgive you. Tell Allah to overlook your shortcomings. Also overlook people's shortcomings the way you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overlook your shortcomings. Okay. And this will help you feel remorseful. It will make the connection more tangible and more reflective. It made it abandon of sin. You know, don't feel comfortable with your sin. Maybe you insulted somebody. Even if it is your children, going back to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, is a kind of you trying to abstain from sin. And the Prophet says, there's a verse of the Quran that when you do bad deeds, you try as much as possible to use good deeds to cover up the bad deeds. You understand? Firm intention never to return to it. I have a firm intention. I don't want to go back to this. You know, sometimes you still go back to it.
Yes.
Because we are human. And the Prophet says the iman of the believers flaunts to it. the angels, it is stagnant. For the prophet of Allah, it goes higher, higher. And for human being, because I will still go out on the road and say a lot of things. People will insult you. Sometimes you feel like it's okay. Sometimes you can't tolerate it because your tolerance level is zero. Sometimes you can do away with some things. Sometimes you say no.
Yes.
But when you go back in your own quiet time, sometimes some people just walk miles and they just feel like, no, this is not right. They have a rethink. They have a second thought. Yeah. So when you have a second thought as a Muslim, you reverse. You reverse. You know, it's always easy when a car has a reverse mode. Unlike you have to now turn and go back again. No. So as a Muslim, you should be able to reverse. Your life is not going to be perfect. It is only Allah that is perfect. Mm-hmm. Even the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that we should not offend Allah, and Allah says, no, you are going to remove that name Al-Ghaffar. So we will offend Allah, but the ability for us to reverse, the ability for us to repent and feel remorseful of what we have done will make us go beyond the limit, the state of lip service, and let it go in deeply from the soul. May Allah make it easy for each and every one of us.
Allahumma ameen. In fact, one thing that struck me in what you have said is Allah did not ask us to actually totally stop committing sin, because He knows quite well we can't.
Yeah.
And that's why He has added it to His attributes, that He is the forgiver, He is the all-forgiving. He says He is the one who accepts repentance. If He knows quite well that we will not commit sin, then it will not be part of, you know, His attributes.
Of course,
it
can make
he
us
knows
perfect.
Quite well. So, yes, He did not make us perfect, so that at the end of the day, when we commit those acts of imperfection that characterizes us as human beings, He gave us the opportunity of return. And He says, when you return, I will accept your repentance.
Yes.
So that is something that gives us hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have a Lord who is ready to forgive us, who is ready to accept our repentance, and who is ready to shower His mercy on us
after
by the time we sincerely repent from our sins. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know quite well that sometimes, by our nature, when we commit sins, sometimes we feel tired of going back to Allah again to, sometimes we feel spiritually tired, feel disconnected, and sometimes we even feel unworthy that, how will I go and face Allah again that I've committed this thing? I did repent it, and I thought I was already turning a new leaf. But then, I had to backslide again. I had to fall back into it. How would I take myself back to Allah? And so you feel dejected. Sometimes you feel, it's like a hopeless thing. Can I ever break away from this thing? Will Allah still shower His mercy on me again? Because He accepted my repentance. He forgave me. And I promised that I won't go back to it. Here I am again, already falling back into this. So, how can we revive our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again? When we find ourselves in this kind of state, and especially before this gate of Ramadan is open, because I feel like what we are saying, some of these things, is that Ramadan is Allah's how will I put it, Allah's guests that He has sent to us, and we don't want to meet that guest in an unprepared state, in a state of sin, in a state of hopelessness. So how do we revive this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before this gate is open to receive Allah's guest, which is Ramadan?
Alhamdulillah. There are two things, and I think I don't think they are trick of shaitan. It is unworthy for a Muslim to think he or she is unworthy. You don't think you're unworthy because you have a Lord who is merciful. You don't say this sin is minimal, and you feel like, well, it's nothing. That is a trick of shaitan. And you don't feel like, I've sinned with all the sin that is huge like a mountain. How will I meet Allah? Yes, a Muslim is always in hope. You have to be in hope and fear. You didn't get to that stage in a day. Neither are you going to reconnect to Allah in a day. But the ability for you to want to strive, Look at the story of this man that went, we heard about killing 100 of people, 99, and went to one scholar and said, I have killed 99. Am I going to find Allah's mercy? Said, I don't think so.
He added him to the count.
And that was 100. And he was going, he met a scholar and said, I've killed 100 though. Do you think? He said, maybe you should be going soon. You know,
it's
been going to the house of Allah. And he was going, and the angels of death came and said, it was just a step ahead of, you know, it is a step more than
the, where he was coming
there, from. Where he was coming from to where he was actually going. If Allah can be merciful, it is not the going to the house of Allah. It is the effort trying
and
to meet his Lord.
With which he
Allah loved that effort. And when an effort is even if it is small, let it be consistent. Try as much as possible to talk to Allah honestly. Allah, I have done this, and I don't want to go back to it. Allah sees your eyes. You don't need to deceive anybody, and you don't need to deceive yourself.
You can't even deceive Allah.
So don't deceive yourself. Just talk to Allah honestly. Allah, you know, I've done this, I've done that. I want to. Allah sees your intention. Talk to Him honestly. That is why the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us to pray, even if it is imperfect. You understand?
Yeah.
Just continue to strive. Allah sees your efforts. That is why I remember this hadith that the Prophet ﷺ says that somebody that can read the Quran fluently has one reward. And somebody that does not know how to read the Quran has two rewards. And they said, how come two rewards? He said, yes, one for striving. We should know and believe that we are all working in progress. We are all striving. And our level of striving differs because Allah created us differently. For some, they are very vast in doing things. For some of us, we are slow. We do things at our own pace. But Allah sees you. You don't deceive anybody. Go at the pace at which you know you have the capacity of. Just make sure you talk to Allah honestly. Observe your salat, even if it is not perfect. Nobody has guaranteed us. Nobody has given us, like the Ashar Mubashar, that we have not got this in the certificate of Al-Jannah. But we are hoping that with this little effort, like somebody that is debating, we say, with these few points of mine,
I hope
I've been able to convince you and not to confuse you. So, right. With this.
Sorry, hold on, Sir Hajia. We have a caller on the line.
Okay.
Hello, Assalamu Alaikum. Alright, so let's have your name and where you're coming from.
Yes, I'm Yusuf. I'm calling from Alatuka, Lagos.
Alright.
May I be merciful to us? And I've enjoyed the guest speaker.
Okay.
You know, may Allah continue to increase our knowledge.
Allahumma ameen.
So, may Allah make us into Ramadan.
Ameen.
And make it easy for all of us.
Ameen. All right. Well, okay. Thank you very much. Okay. All right. So that's Olamilekan from Ogun State there. So he's appreciating you and the insight that you have shared, and he's praying that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us witness Ramadan.
All right.
So you want to conclude something you were saying earlier.
So it is, then I was talking about the reconnection with the Quran, because this month was the month which the Quran was reviewed. So it's always in, you know, big connection. It weighs heavily on the scale of good deeds when you connect with the Quran. If a woman of 70-something can actually know how to read the Quran, it means that practice makes perfect. If you make effort, wallah, Allah will grant you. Even if it's, you understand, we have seen some of these women in Asar reading, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless the likes of Sheikh Abdurrahman Ahmad and the likes of them. You know, if they can motivate this woman and they are determined to read the Quran in their old age, something they didn't know how to read when they were younger. And who are you now to say, girl of 40-something, 30, 20, and say, that Quran?
It is your
mindset. The person that can speak, that is more fluent in Arabic, is a Christian. So I met somebody the other day, went to Makbara at Ofada, and he was saying that he did a research on Arabic. He understand that Arabic was a language, and he can speak it fluently.
And he's not a Muslim.
Yes, he's not a Muslim.
Yeah.
So you understand, it's a thing of the mindset.
For some people, sincerely, you know, ignorance is a disease, actually. You know, there are some Nigerians who probably equate Arabic with Islam. Arabic is just a language. We have Arab Christians. We have, you know, Christian Copts in Egypt. You have, I remember then the
we former, have some Palestinians that even speak Arabic.
No. So there are Palestinians who are Christians.
And they are Christians.
There are Palestinians who are Christians, actually. So what are we saying? See, the truth is, even during the time of Saddam Hussein, his vice then was actually a Christian and speaks Arabic fluently. So what are we saying?
So once they hear Allah Akbar or they hear Assalamu Alaikum, it's attached to Muslims.
Even God in Christianity to the Arabs.
It's just like Allah. An Igbo man saying Chineke. Of course, he's referring to Allah if he's a Muslim.
All right, good.
May Allah make it easy for us. So let's connect with the Quran as well, even if it is kul huwallahu ahad. Even if you can't pronounce it fluently, even if you have to be spelling kof fatia ko lam fatia la, you understand kof domo kul lam sukun kul. Even if it is like that, let's try as much as possible. Sure. And Allah has been so merciful. We have Quran in English, Yoruba, Igbo, Hausa,
different languages.
So if you can just take that script, ask what is Allah actually telling me. You know, I bought an air fryer some times ago. I just left it in my kitchen. And the other day I was about to use it. I was looking for the manual. I was now laughing at myself. I said, if I can't operate an air fryer without a manual, how will I navigate life without
Quran?
The manual that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to us.
All right. On the final, because we are costing home now, if a believer could take... There are different actions we could take before Ramadan, like that commences. But then, I want to limit it to just three things that a believer could take, the actions they could take before Ramadan to secure a life-changing month. What would you recommend and why? There are three things that they can do between now and the commencement of Ramadan that will make them have a life-changing Ramadan. What would that be?
As the first thing is repentance. It's not about you sitting for hours to say astaghfirullah, but a sincere repentance.
From your heart.
From your heart.
That's
the second thing is reconnect with the Quran.
Okay.
And it's the third thing is have a sincere intention. I want to meet Ramadan in a very, in a state of the mind of Qalb al-Salim and after Ramadan. Have a sincere intention. The first thing is repent. Allah, I've done this. If you have to meet people you have offended, please do ask for their forgiveness. And there's this thing that trend on the social media. If I have offended you, forgive me, this and that. I'll be about to start Ramadan and the likes. So it looks like a joke, but we're lying in the actual sense. We should try as much as possible. Meet up with people and say, forgive me. Reconnect with the Quran no matter how little. With these few days that we have, recite. Even if there are just few verses of the Quran that you have memorized, and try to take your mushaf, dust it if it has not been dusted. And the last one is have a good intention that you are going, this Ramadan is going to be a transformation for you, not only in Ramadan and after Ramadan. Make dua to Allah. That is why the Prophet used to say, Allahumma ya muqallab al-qulub, sabbit qalbi ala dinik.
All right. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you very much. I'd like to appreciate Aja Sakina Adi from Allah Said for the insights and the experiences that she has shared on this program. In fact, some of those stories that you narrated are actually very touching for me. It's been, it's a personal connection for me and with some of these things that you have said. And I believe it's the same for those of you who actually listen. So we'd like to appreciate you and to appreciate our callers. Jazakumullah khairan. And to everyone who listened, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us abundantly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala count us among those who witnessed this year's Ramadan. Allahumma ameen. I would also like to use this opportunity to appeal to all of us that we use this period of fasting as we enter into Ramadan. And coincidentally, I'm also aware that Lent is also very much around the corner. I want to use this opportunity to pray for Nigeria and for us to have a mind shift for the benefit of ourselves and the society, because this country needs our prayers. And we need to put this country in prayers. We need to put our leaders in prayer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should touch their hearts and Allah guide them aright. So let us use the opportunity to pray for Nigeria and for all the different parts of the world that are facing one challenge or the other. All right. So I'll just remind you that you can also listen again to this episode or other previous episodes of Everyday Muslim on mpac-ng.org. Scroll down and click on MPAC Project to view Everyday Muslim past uploaded episodes. You can follow us, Everyday Muslim, on social media, Facebook, Everyday Muslim, Instagram, Everyday Muslim 01. You can also go to YouTube page of Women Radio. You will also see this program there. so for you to look at other previously uploaded episodes. So inshallah, Everyday Muslim will make its way back to your airwaves next week, same time, 11 a.m, same station, WFM 91.7. I remain Abdul Hakim Qasim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
To sponsor this program, call the number 0816 480 761.